Man, what's up with like the whole Shiesty and Gucci shit? That shit crazy, man.
Yeah, man, that shit, like, it's really out of control, bro.
That shit crazy, dog. I said, wait, what? This might have been one of the craziest cases in hip hop history where you just seeing the cat. I mean, like, the one thing I always tell people is today's rappers are realer than ever. They really never. Like, these little niggas is on. They not just rapping bullshit. They living their raps.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
100% authentic. And Shiesty one of them cats that I ended up, like, you know, hitting one of them YouTube rabbit holes one time and being like, oh damn, boys really out there living like that, man. The boys kind of wild with it. And
who y'all talking about?
Talking
Who
about the
Shiesty and Gucci
Kobe
Man?
situation. Yeah.
Yeah, that Shiesty thing, man. He living his he living them raps, man.
Like, yeah, he like, yeah.
Real street nigga.
ain't no we should have yeah, we should have known that when he pulled the pistol out in the middle of the show and somebody tried to act crazy in Fort Lauderdale, Miami. He pulled the pistol out and started shooting. Like, you should have known.
I really don't know nothing about him. I don't know no music. I really never paid attention to him, but I just been on social media, man. Hey, this nigga just stays. It's one of those stay away from me type niggas, man.
Yeah. So X, you don't remember? You don't know why people be saying that I'm gonna go grab me a Shiesty mask. Get one of them push out them Shiesty mask.
Nah, man. I be out.
Oh, trouble, but man. Listen, he's the reason why people say that. They'd be like, oh, yeah, you got your Shiesty mask, because that's what he do. He really in them streets. Like, yeah, and my thing is, for him, allegedly, for them to do that to Gucci, is like, oh, yeah, y'all really, really in them streets. Like, because we know Gucci, he a real one. We know his background. So
yeah, they really once I heard the story, I like, hey, these niggas been watching too much or listening to too much Death Row, man. Like, these niggas try to shoot like a nigga.
Yeah, and that,
like,
that's
some shoot like type.
So this is the thing, like, little background on the whole situation between them two is, so Shiesty is signed to 1017, right? So Gucci got this whole new roster, 1017. But also signed was his cousin, his like real life cousin, Big Scar, right? Big Scar ended up overdosing and passing. And with that whole situation went down, Gucci sent like 10 racks to take care of the funeral or whatever. And, you know, that's something for sure. But I think maybe Pooh looking at it like, bro, just cover the fucking funeral. Like, I'm locked up right now. That's your artist and my first cousin. I'm the big artist, right? I'm the one that's bringing in bread. I'm the one that's actually making us money. Just take care of that for my family, you know what I'm saying? And I think he felt a way about that shit. I think that's what it really boiled down to was he felt, and he asked for the 1017 change back. And it's like, bro, the man dead, and you like, hey, I can get them chains back. That's crazy. I'm like, brother, just let his people keep them chains or whatever. But, you know, that's Gucci doing what Gucci do. So I think that's what it really boiled down to. And then, yeah, like, he was kind of alluded to, like, that contract. I think he started to see he done got bit bop across the head with the contract. And he was like, oh, nah, nigga done gave me a foul deal. So he was like, yeah, you going to let me up out this paperwork, come hook a crook. So they set him up to come in Dallas. And, you know, my boys pull out them things on him, was like, go ahead and sign this paperwork. But the crazy part, too, is like, feds kicking in the door and stuff, and they don't have no hard evidence. The only thing they really got is witness testimony. So, like, the big talk then is Gucci cooperating or should Gucci cooperate? And I'm like, can't.
Yeah, the word is he's not gonna cooperate. That's the word. You can't, yeah. Because if you cooperate, boy, your whole rep, you might well just ride off into the sunset.
I guess that's it for you. I guess I just seen something today where they have it where he already gave a statement. So
yeah,
the statement. Like if Pooh Shiesty's lawyer is as good as he should be, the statement it won't be allowed to be used in court unless the feds subpoena the statement, and then now Gucci has to come in and talk.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I mean, I'm looking at it like this, man. Gucci, you're a businessman at this point. You know what I'm saying? Stop. You ain't the street nigga that you was no more. I don't care. I mean, me personally, I'm not giving a statement either, but Gucci, you're a business. This is business. This ain't got nothing to do with the street. This is business. They tried to force you to sign a contract where he has to get out of a situation. That's business. You know what I'm saying? Now, that's your livelihood. So I understand, even if you do make a statement, but yeah, Gucci, you can't make a statement because you done told everybody you the realest nigga in the world. And
right.
You know what I'm saying?
This your babies. You know what I'm saying? This Frankenstein monster, you know what I'm saying? So they pumped this out there, and I ain't never one to like blame music for behavior or whatever, but we'll be lying too if we ain't gonna say what no influence. You know, it's Memphis, so it's fucked up in Memphis, period, point blank, period. But you know, it's gonna be some influence. These kids listen to all this shit. You know, you bragged about smoking on Pookie Loat and you know what I'm saying? You know, never snitching, and that was the line you was gonna walk. So it'd be interesting to see how this go from henceforth. But that shit was just, I was like, bro, I can't believe these little niggas done ran up in there, pistols drawn, and was like, yeah, we gotta get this, man.
Was it one? Was it Pooh Shiesty? His dad did it. He was in it too.
His dad was there too. Yep.
That's the problem that got me tripping. Like, nigga, your daddy supposed to be away from everything. Like,
your daddy really like that. You know what I'm saying? He rapped that. He said, "Man, my dad was my first Cody." Like, he, you know what I'm saying? Like, Pooh is just one of them kids who ain't had a chance, dog. Like, you just come up with your dad thugging. Mama, you know what I'm saying, seeing like she walked that line too, and then here go little you, and you in Memphis on top of that, like, shit, bro was born in it, not sworn in it, so he went to get it back in blood, you know, he was like, yo, I got to get that. Oh, and then the other shit, like, these rappers is out of control right now. What's up with your boy, Offset? Nigga, Offset, well, everybody.
Oh, yeah, he listen, he got a major problem.
Like, major.
I don't even think it's gambling. I think it's some drugs involved, because there's no way you owe all these people this money and you continually just keep putting yourself in debt. You go to the casino, you get shot, and then they say this nigga went back 2 days later to the casino and start gambling again. Like, that's drugs.
I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, that's drugs. That ain't gambling addiction. That's drugs.
They got a video of him like 2 days after he came out of the hospital. Basically, he was already in a casino gambling some more. They had him. They had a video of him getting like $100K. He won like $100K. So it's like, they say all that. Oh, he broke. I don't think he broke. I just think he one of them niggas just like, yeah, I'm just not gonna pay you.
Yeah,
like, you saw the text messages. You saw the text messages. He was like, shoot, hey, come get it in blood. Like,
nigga,
he fucking around. They almost got it.
That's why I told him. I said, yo, this man definitely a Gators fan, dog. This man just ass betting all over the nation. Des Bryant came out saying he owed him money. Ebro said he owed him money. Like, this is what he do, and it's all about gambling, and he just don't pay up. So you know, I salute TJ for pulling up on him. Like, man, this nigga, give me my motherfucking money, man. Don't try, little bro. I want little bro when you needed that 10 racks, because their story was he borrowed 10,000 at the casino. Like, oh, you know, hey, let me get 10 real quick so he could keep playing or whatever. So I guess he must have been on the back pocket. He's like, all right, here you go. And the man wanted my, yo, I fronted you a 10. Let me get that 10 back. What's going on with you? Yeah, pop him in the ass. And catch him outside, pop him in the ass again. Little TJ got paused. Little TJ got knocked out, I heard, during the whole situation. By a fan. He said by a fan. That was crazy, too. Anyway, hip hop is a wild world, man. It's crazier than it's ever been, dog. I thought Tupac and Biggie getting shot was the epitome of it. These cats, they cranking it up or not. Nah. Somebody gonna get shot before the next recording we have. Somebody else gonna get shot.
These niggas different, man. They really listen. One of my homeboys, his son wanted to rap. He wanted me to, like, you know what I'm saying, kind of be over his career. And I told the nigga, I said, no, I don't want no parts of y'all young niggas, man. y'all not finna do this to me.
They too real. See, I think the rapper was the entertainment leg of the actual gangsters. You know what I'm saying? The actual dope boys and that was out there actually pushing it and, you know, moving them on the block like that. And yeah, he around, you know what I'm saying? But he kind of protected too. He's like, because they see the talent and we can go legit with him. So he actually ain't really out there like that. He just a little home. You know, we keep him around, let him dibble and dabble, but nothing too crazy. All right, man, go in the booth and do what you do. And that's going to be our legal leg so we can eventually get out of this game. Shit, these days, them boys, the gangster is the rapper.
It was about getting out the hood. These niggas don't want to get out the hood. They want to stay there and make it worse.
Man, Shaggy, his instincts is just, he's shell shocked, cuz he like a Vietnam War vet. He just cut from a different cloth.
I seen a picture. They talk about the nigga was like 12 and he had an ankle bracelet on. I'm like, oh yeah, he was doomed from that. He was doomed.
Doomed. Anyway, all right, shit, man. Let's talk some ball.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, your Miami Hurricanes football barbershop talk. The gang's here. It's your guy, Larian. Happy to be here. Blessed to be here. A lot going on. Spring ball. Commitments is, you know, rolling in. Buzz is picking up. They talking number one class again. We'll talk about that a little bit. We'll see. We'll see what the word is with that. Couple of commitments and some buzz around the program, man. So we're going to get into it just in general. Got with me, speaking of general, got the real field General X in the building. Say what's up to the people.
What's happening? What's happening, people, man? We back. Man, it's a lot of buzz going on around the University of Miami right now, man. Recruiting. And let's just not even get on that. The fact of the spring, the football team, it's a lot. Man, I'm telling you, it's not even college analysts, it's NFL analysts looking at this Miami football team and saying, boy, this is something special. It's something special. And us being Miami fans, we hate to be biased, you know what I'm saying, about it, but it's something special. So,
you know, the truth is the truth.
Yeah, remember everybody be like, boy, it's such and such happening. I'm going to tell my lie. Listen, ain't no lies about it. This is the truth, the hardcore facts about it's something special in Miami right now, man.
For sure.
Mario said year five, and we year five, and he put together a championship roster.
So, exactly. Yeah, we here now, man. Man ain't lied to us. That's the one thing we can say. He done came through. You know, last guy told us, oh, you're going to play for Miami or get beat by Miami. It ain't go that way, dog. So we got one that's actually coming through on his word. But with us as usual as well, Chef D-Rob in the building. Chef D-Rob, say what's up.
Yo, yo, yo. What's good, everybody? So happy to be back recording, man. Let's get into this action, boy. Got a lot going on. Let's go.
Oh, let the people know you got your page back, man.
Oh yeah. So, first of all, I got my page back. So, a little story on how it happened, right? So, somebody sent me a link. Actually, it was Trey. Trey sent me a link. Cord brother. Well, I thought it was him. Sent me a link and it had a little Spotify on it. So, I was like, click. I was scrolling and I was like, oh, okay. And when I scrolled, I clicked on it. So when I clicked on it, it opened like some Spotify thing. And I was like, oh, shoot. You know what I'm saying? So I just closed it. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. Later on that day, I logged in. I mean, I logged in. Everything was straight. Got out. When I tried to get back in, it was like it kicked me out completely. So I'm like, what's going on? So then I go and try to do this and like send a confirmation email. The email that's on there was not my email address. So when I seen that, I said, oh, yeah, somebody got me. So I sent up the thing to you know, to support, and like they took forever to get. I mean, they took like 2 days to get back to me. And so I was like, yeah, but this ain't, I didn't read a part where it says like to reply above the line that they sent and put my email on there. So I missed that one. So I ended up sending another one and I added it. So I was like, you know what? When I seen that we was getting that Abrams commit, I was like, oh, boy, I got to be on the timeline for this. So I was like, man, let me go ahead and set up another, because I wasn't going to do it. But just because we were about to get that commit, I was like, man, let me go ahead and set up another account. So that's when I had made the secondary account. And then I put, you know, actually wrote on there so people can see that, yes, it was me and it wasn't a fake account. So, I mean, I got most of the Canes, like a lot of Canes fans, they, you know what I'm saying, they end up following me and all that, all the type of stuff. And that's when I put that. So finally, when I got this account back, you know what I'm saying, I logged in, I put like, well, I put a four number passcode on it. Well, I got like top of the top. So ain't nobody going to get this one. So yeah. I go to my messages, bro. It's like 30 different people that I sent my account, sent that link out to, that fake Spotify link out to.
It's so like I had to delete 26 account.
Yeah, so I had to delete all of those, and then I checked my followers. Bro, I had like 150 followers, like just from Africa and random. You know what I'm saying? So I deleted all that, and I just switched everything up. So I had to make. That's why I also did that video and say, "Hey, I got my account back. Everything's cool and straight." So it's all good now, though, man. It's all good.
Yeah, it sent me something. Try to get me to click on something from the 26 account, but yeah, let's get into it, man. Spring continues. Chug along. We are, what, eight or nine practices in at this point?
I think it's 10 now. I think it's
10 now. 10, okay. 10. Yeah, we're getting through it. Man, you be panicked to be over before you know it too, right? Like, it's fun.
Yeah, because it's only 15.
You don't get 15 practices, right? And it feels like, you know, we got to, just like you were speaking on X, we used to have to talk about lies or whatever. Now that's not an issue, right? So we got to talk about no lies. And we also used to be done playing football a lot earlier. So, you know, you got to think about the fact that the team performed so well that they got to continue to practice all the way to the point where the new commits for the new class got to come in. So we getting a little spoiled right now. Like, man, we ain't really had to get away from football yet. In all honesty, like, we ain't had that downtime yet because we rolled straight from the playoffs into the spring football. And you know, it'll be rapid soon. And then we'll hit a little, you know, a little quiet time until fall ball kicks back up. But yeah, what a feeling, man, to have this program, you know, like you spoke to, where the coach said it would be. Like, all the hate getting out there, a lot of the narratives that they still try to push, like they still got to get past Mario's coaching. And I'm just like, what? There's no basis to that. Like, there's nothing. If you want to talk about that at all, you have to go back to the Georgia Tech game.
Yeah, I just about to say, like, this past season, I'm looking at each game we've had, and I can't say I blame Mario for one of them.
It had nothing, right. He's not stood in the way of victory in any regard. You know, any calls that were made or anything like that, it's just these people got nothing else to talk about, so they use the same tired old trolls and jokes, and it's just like, yeah, but that don't make sense today. You keep talking about things that were, not things that are. And the national landscape will tell you right now, Miami is a top five football program, period.
Miami has a, I mean, somebody just put out the top schools with the best talent, and Miami was in the top five.
Of course. And that's what he's here to do. That's what he was brought here to do. Assemble talent that could get us in competition. For national titles, And that has been done. You know, yeah, that's just where we at with it now.
I guess the only, like, the one thing, and I don't even think it works, it's probably a dumb argument right now. Like, the one thing I see a lot of schools and a lot of schools of fans saying on social media is, oh, well, why would a high school recruit go to Miami when they're not going to play them? And then I'm like, well, goddamn, everybody's recruiting, everybody's getting portal kids. Why is it only that Miami is the only school that's not going to play a high school kid? Like, that makes no sense when Miami has had a freshman All-American each year Mario's been here.
Exactly. Like, control don't make sense. Yeah, they don't make sense, man. You know, they talked about the QBs. And I get it. That was a nice little troll to get off. But at the same time, I always was of the thought process, and I think anybody that you wanted to be unbiased about a situation was, he just ain't had a quarterback yet. It's not about developing, because, again, if we're going to call it development, then we also got to give credit for the guys who did come through and were able to elevate, like a Cam Ward, who was able to go from a day three pick to the number one pick in the draft, to a guy like Carson Beck, who, you know, now probably, even with some of his faults, is probably the number two quarterback off the board this year. Darian Minson making the decision to move over there. It's because there's something good there. It ain't just, oh, Miami's going to pay him, you know, top dollar to go. It's, nah, I see what they're doing, and this is an opportunity to help raise my draft stock. Once we get the high school quarterbacks that can truly raise to that level, you'll see the portal slow down in that regard at the quarterback position. And I think, you know, we're very, very close to that. I honestly feel like as of today, next year, I don't think we dip into the portal for our quarterback.
Well, listen, we're not going to go into it just yet, but I think, you know, the quarterback commit we just got, you know, a few days ago, you can say we probably not going to be hitting that portal anymore. You know what I'm saying? And, speaking of quarterbacks, you know, we start with Camp, you know, who's quarterback two.
Right.
And it's a lot of talk about that. Is it Luke? Is it Judd? Is it Darion Coleman? I'm going to just come out and say I think it's going to be Judd. I think it's going to be Judd as quarterback two. Okay. I think because he's been in the system a lot longer. And I'm just saying it's coming out of spring. I'm not saying this is going to be
fall. Right. Yeah. We're talking spring.
So
ball,
coming
right.
out of spring. I think it's Judd because he's been in the system a lot longer. So he knows it. And he's not making the one thing a quarterback who knows he's probably not going to get the opportunity, when he does, he's not going to make the mistakes that everybody else right. makes. He's going to just do enough to not get benched. So you're I think that's what Judd is doing. And then the one thing he probably has the best deep ball outside of him, Luke, and Darion. He has the best deep ball. I mean, he should. He's what, 6'6"?
Yeah,
seven.
I say he's 6'6". He already started. Yeah. He should. He's starting at a higher launch point.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he's from my perspective, I think he's quarterback too. I don't have a problem with it, you know, because I don't anticipate Mensa to be getting hit much anyway. Right. So,
yeah, and I see. You know, I think this year we'll have an opportunity to have more blowouts. I think if there was like a Mario kind of, you know, coaching kind of in the way type deal, was maybe, you know, and I can't confirm it or whatever. Maybe Dawson felt a little handcuffed offensively, and then after that second loss, it seemed like, you know, that's when we start seeing more fun things. That's when you start seeing Malachi throw the ball, and we, you know, it opened up a little bit more. So I think that part's put away too. So I believe this offense has an opportunity to set us up for more blowouts, and then we're really going to get to see, I think, who QB2 is, you know, in season. Like, I think we'll get an opportunity to let the younger guy, or not, well, like a guy like Judd Anderson and Luke Nickell get an opportunity to throw the ball around. Like, I just, you know, Darion, I don't think it's a chance he played this year. Just got to get his weight up and whatnot. But D-Rod, what's your thoughts on, like, QB2 possibilities?
QB2, I think, me personally, I think it's going to be nickel. But I think Judd probably going to surprise some people on how he, you know what I'm saying? Because like I said, he's been in the offense, what, 3 years now? He's been in office 3 years now.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure he got a good grasp of everything, what's going on. And like, I think he's the one quarterback that Dawson really recruited, like, right heavy. Because I guess he see him in that – who that quarterback he had at – I can't think of the name of that. Was it not Mordecai – not Tanner Mordecai. It was one of them quarterbacks, man, he had that was, like, in a similar build, like Judd, like tall 6'6 guy, 6'6", 6'7". Okay. And I can't think of the name
right now. Yeah, I can't
think of the West name. West Virginia? No, he had him at Houston. He was at Houston.
Yeah.
I just can't think of the name of the quarterback at the moment. But he's very similar to that guy because the guy ended up getting drafted by like Arizona. The Cardinals ended up drafting him. I just can't think of his name right now. So I think it's nickel, but I wouldn't be surprised if it ended up being Judd because I think he's from some of the stuff like he's made some good improvement. And then you got to think about it in high school, like his freshman, like sophomore and junior year, like the offense that he had really didn't like cater to his strengths. You know what I'm saying? Like it was like a wing T offense. So it's like, you remember he had like 15 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. You know what I'm saying? Like it wasn't good.
Yeah. The numbers
and then
don't
his
jump
senior
out.
Year. Yeah. And then when he went to Warner Robins High School, like all of a sudden 30 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, like 800-900 rushing yard. Like he did his thing. So I just think that I never thought that he would have been like a redshirt freshman, maybe redshirt sophomore that's probably going to start. I was like, he's probably going to be like his fourth year is when he's going to start. And then like, he'll probably be gone after that. He'll probably transfer or something like that or whatever. But I never saw him as being our top guy. But I think that QB, I think he's sneaky behind the scenes and like really giving Nickel a run for his money. As far as for QB2, because I think Nickel feels a little entitled. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he feels a little entitled to be QB2 because of the rumblings that I guess his folks was like kind of upset that Miami went and got another, you know what I'm saying? Like transfer quarterback. And, you know, I still don't think he was ready.
Well,
I don't think he was ready.
Luke is still making those high school mistakes where he feel like his arm is better than the talent on the field. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
And you know, he got better backups now.
When you play quarterback, quarterbacks usually think, okay, man, if I got a good arm, I can outthrow the defense. I can outthrow anybody on the field. He's still thinking that. You know, you gotta kind of throw that away because you can't do that in college. With Judd, what you're getting with Judd is Judd studied behind Carson Beck. So he's kind of doing what Carson Beck did. You know what I'm saying? Taking a Carson Beck angle to this season. That's why I'm giving him quarterback too. Luke is still being Luke. You know what I'm saying? He's still making some mistakes. You know what I'm saying? He's gotten better. He's doing a lot better, but he's still doing some mistakes where you say, hey, boy, this might cost us the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think with Judd, too, I think it's close, number one. I mean, it'd be very interesting. Like I say, hopefully we'll get into some blowout situations where we can see both of these guys get some snaps. I think Judd brings a little bit of a running ability that is probably ahead of a nickel. Who they say can move around a little bit too, but you know, again, like you were saying, D-Rod, he'll run wing T. So he used to, you know, it, holding the rock and running out there sometimes anyway, and he's a big dude. So it's gonna be interesting. I think spring has bode well for both of those guys. respectively, but I've heard both of them it's jump needed. Up a good bit. Yeah, and that's what you need, right? Like, that's what this – that's why I think we will be – hopefully by next season, we will have our guy. We won't be portal shopping for our next QB. I think by next season, I think one of these two will be ready, or maybe even Darion if he, you know, if he takes the extra time in the offseason to just up his game, you know.
Yeah, Darion just got to get physical. Once he get the physicality of college, I think he'll be ready because he can make every throw. I tweeted out something the other day and people was trying to figure out what I was talking about. I tweeted out he has Derrick King's ability with the Cam Ward arm. And people was like, well, who are you talking about? They thought I was talking about Ibram. I'm like, no, Ibram 6'5". That's not Derrick King or Cam Ward. I'm talking about Derrick Coleman. Like, the man really has that ability. And I was like, you know, once he get the physicality of it, I think he'd still be our guy. Obviously, people, I keep telling people, like, it doesn't matter if he's our guy or not. You still got to recruit. You still got to bring in the talent. You can't just say, oh, I got one player, and then I'm not going to bring in somebody to be behind him.
Right. Especially if you beat him. You got to do one a year. Like, that never changes. That never changes.
If you think like that, guess what? You will be the team in Leon County. When they went undefeated, they didn't bring in anybody to get behind those players the next year.
Right.
What you have?
Yeah, we saw what happened.
Can't even win no games. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. And horrible situation. Yeah. Talent acquisition will always be the name of the game, and it's just going to continue to be about stacking it, man. Because you're going to lose players. You're going to lose them to graduation and or transfer. Like, that's just what it is. And injuries. So.
And not only that, I mean, that wins football games. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, if you and another team got most likely the equal talent, guess what? That one player that's just better than everybody else, he's gonna outshow everybody else. That's talent. You know what I'm saying? And that's just the name of the game. You know what I'm saying? If I'm more talented than you, I have a better chance of winning the football game or winning sports.
Right.
So,
well, that one I think is still of some interest because it's kind of fast forward a little bit. I think the other, probably one of the more other intriguing positions on the team right now would be defensive tackle. I think for sure Moton, right? Like that's a no.
Moton and Scott are 1 and 2. It's not, no, you're not. I don't even want to put nobody else's name outside of that. What you got to do is look for the depth 3, 4, and 5.
Okay, right. Yeah, 3, 4, and 5. I'm with you. I felt like Scott had that 2 locked down pretty good. We got Keona Davidson. Been hearing good stuff about. What's my man from Ohio State? Jarquez Carter.
Jarquez, yeah, Carter. He's been doing an excellent job. The Davidson kid. Like I said, you gotta go 3, 4, 5 depth. Cause Scott and Moton are 1 and 2.
Moton could have got drafted this year, I think. In all honesty.
Yeah, he could have got drafted. Scott came on strong at the end of the season, especially in the run game. And that's what we needed. We need that big boy to stuff that run where you allow those, you know what I'm saying, linebackers and defensive ends. And then you allow Moton to be free. Because now, just think about it. Moton probably most likely going to be double teamed a lot this year.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't double team Moton and Scott. You have to double team one. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So which one you double team? Scott is the bigger guy. He's the bigger guy who could plug up a hole. So you say maybe we double team him and allow Moton to, you know, do his one-on-one thing. So yeah.
That's dangerous. It's picking a hell of a poison. So essentially 3, I guess that's where it gets the most interesting, right? Is it Carter? Is it Keona Davis? Is it even your guy, D-Rob, Stansel, Keyshawn Stansel, hearing good things about, bro. If you had to guess today, if we was playing, you know, our opener against Stanford today.
Yeah, we had the game. If we had this opener today, I'm going to say Carter is 3. I'm going to say he's 3. I'm going to say he's 3. And then you go 4 and 5. You just could pick your poison. Yeah, but Carter's three.
See, I got it different. I think obviously it's Moten and Scott one and two. I got Davis three. I got Keona Davis three. I think I just think he just Carter. I think they kind of in the same boat, new to the team, different routine on how they do things and all that type of stuff. I think once they get accustomed to being down here, I just think Davis is going because he's been in a strength and conditioning program a little bit longer, and I like size wise, he's like what 6'6", 290, almost 300. Because Jarquez Carter ain't number like 6'2". Like he's a bit on the shorter side.
Yeah, but see, okay, so and you notice, D-Rod, you notice like the rotation.
Yeah.
And the only reason I'm giving Carter three is because of the rotation.
Okay.
Because I feel like Carter would come off the bench on the third down when they take Scott out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I gave him three. You know what I'm saying? Like if it's okay. If it's like, okay, let's just go backup for backup, then yeah, I would say Davis is three because Davis will come in to back up Scott, and then Carter will come in to back up Moten.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at it from you know what I'm saying? Okay, it's third down. This year you can't put, I mean, we don't got Mezzo and Bane, so you can't move them inside. So now it's like, okay, who we gonna put in to take Scott out? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In somebody to take Moten out. Yeah, we got Carter in there.
But you know what? Yeah, we got to come up. I think when they come to that third, I think Blunt gonna slide inside. So
yeah, Blunt will play.
I think Blunt will play because I want to see what our speed package is gonna look like this year. Because it's not gonna be Lightfoot. You know what I'm saying? Lightfoot on the outside. You got Mezzador Bane and Scott in the middle and Mezzador. You ain't gonna have that. So this year, we know for sure you're going to have Lightfoot on one side, Wilson on the other side. But in the middle, who you going to have? You have Blunt and who else?
I kind of think you have Hayden Lowe on one side and Wilson on the other side. And remember, they're going to have Lightfoot at that spy position.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
They'll put Lightfoot at that spy position because he did a hell of a job at the spy position. Like, quarterback, listen, when we was playing A&M, even though that quarterback was getting 4 yards here, when he was playing other teams, that quarterback was gassing teams. He couldn't gas Miami because Lightfoot was on him.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but yeah, that for 3, 4, and 5. I mean, so you can say Carter Davis, and then the fifth spot is
Oh, you got I'm about to say because we didn't you haven't heard nothing too much from Mayberry. Was it Mayberry or Mayberry, whatever his name is? Then you got the three freshmen, because you got the dude that was committed to Pitt, you got Nagel.
You got Nagel.
Yeah, a lot of good things on him too.
You got the Francis kid, the Francis, I can't say his Latin Haitian kid, I can't think of his name right now. Yep, and then you have one more that we had last year. Newton, that's what it is. Makai Newton.
Newton.
So, I don't know. We got depth.
We got to see who can contribute.
Yeah.
Again, like I say, if we just want to go by the logic of saying, okay, let's just go 2D, let's just go 3D, then yeah, I would start putting names in order. But I'm looking at it as, okay, this is our defense, and we got four downs. Who would be the third, fourth, and fifth guy to come in the game if you had to take Scott and Moten out? You know what I'm saying? And that's why I said Carter would be the first guy off the bench, because Carter is coming in on a third down. The third down is pretty much a pass down, so Carter gonna come in. You're not gonna put the big guy in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
now I think Stance will bring you some of that pass rush ability as well. So he could be an interesting option. I had DN written down, but now I think about it, I think a little more interesting is honestly linebacker. Because
DN, I won't even worry about. Like, that's just,
it's gonna be a lot of committee. Yeah.
It's too much. It's too much.
Right. I honestly, after I thought about it, I was like, you know what? We just gonna have to see with that, because I really think the rotation is gonna definitely be higher this year. You know, I was seeing about how like Bane and Mezzador was waving coaches off last year.
Man, they were telling niggas, really? Man, y'all ain't coming to the game.
Yeah. You see, I seen the stats some they put up. They said Bane played 90.4% of the snaps. That was the most of any DN in the last decade.
Yeah,
it's crazy. That's a lot. That's a lot. So imagine what he gonna do in the NFL when, like, you ain't gonna be able to, you ain't waving no coach off. Like, you gonna, they gonna take each other. You gonna get off that field. But he's gonna be fresher. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's gonna be a whole lot fresher, because we seen what he do. Even when he be dead tired, he's still making them big plays. So we gonna see.
Yeah, his conditioning otherworldly, man. Him and Mezzador. But yeah, linebacker, I think was interesting, right? And then X, you was one of the first voices to really kind of get out ahead of this and put Chase Smith at that other linebacker. And I'm hearing it from other people around the program. It seemed to me like Chase got that other linebacker spot damn near locked down early in spring, as we in spring.
He locked in. He looks a lot. He looks – so when Chase was coming out of high school, Chase almost looked like he was coming out of high school, but a lot bulkier. He's – his athleticism got a lot better. And he now he understands. I'm not even going to say now he understands, because he's been in the linebacker room since he got to college, but he's now had a linebacker coach – the same for multiple seasons,
right?
One position. He's always had a linebacker coach, a new one each year. He's now had the DC the same. He understands it. Him and Torre, you know, that 1 and 2 linebacker spot.
Right.
And I'm good with it, because you got, I mean, people don't want to give Torre the credit. Torre is an alpha. He's an alpha on that field.
Oh,
yeah. He's an alpha on that field. Obviously, he's been injured, so it kind of takes away from the athleticism that he used to have. But he's an alpha on that field, man. He gives it all. So him and Chase, I like it. Now, when you start to talk about the backups,
yeah, this one gets interesting.
You have Bobby Pruitt. I love Speedster, cover, another guy who likes to put a hat on you.
He did put on some weight. He finally okay.
He did put on some weight. It's not your what you want as a linebacker weight. So with him, I think it's gonna be like a Wesley Bissaint. You know what I'm saying? He's gonna put on weight each year, and he's just gonna have to accept the fact that each year he has to gain a little more weight.
It's gonna take 4 years to get the total 30
to that 230. Get to that 230. So, and then the other spot, you got Barner, but then you got Keelan Wiley, which is probably the most intriguing prospect on the team, because he can play both linebacker and outside edge rusher. So I'm looking at it like, what do you want him on the field as at a certain perspective? And D-Rob, remember when I was saying Lightfoot would be the spot? I mean, why not make Keelan Wiley the spot? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He can do both of those. So yeah, linebacker, you just have to say the teams we play. You know what I'm saying? Are we gonna play three linebackers, or are we gonna play only two? What, you know, if we play Stanford, we probably gonna have to play three linebackers. Stanford not coming out there with no 4 or 5 receivers. So we're gonna most likely play three linebackers.
Yeah.
So now you say, who's the third backup for that one? Maybe it is a Keelan Wiley. You know what I'm saying? Who can blitz off the edge and who can also play linebacker and cover? You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Ezekiel Marshall.
Yeah, that was the next name I was gonna say.
Love him, man. That kid has an IQ of football. He's very, very smart. They love him. Obviously, he's undersized. He's one of those smaller linebackers, but he's one of those who play football, who gonna hit you.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But he's very smart. That's about the linebacker play right there.
Yeah, like I said, it's interesting because 1 and 2, I'm starting to feel real confident. I mean, Torre, we kind of was given. Chase was a guy that, you know, again, you was one of the first to say he really played well in all his opportunities last year without starting. And then this year, you know, it's just all the buzz is he's probably in the best shape he's been in since he's been at Miami. Obviously, an older guy with plenty of knowledge of the game. And he got the inside track to hold it down. And he stayed healthy all of last year, too. So, you know, injuries was piling up on him. So, and I remember, you know, again, he was a guy that came in previously and you was like hearing a lot of positives about, oh, we really got us on him. And then the injuries kind of stacked up on him. So, be interesting to see. So, yeah, it'll be fun to see who it'll be next, you know, because, like I said, Marcelin, and I think, like, Justin Edwards is kind of cut out of that same mold, a little bit smaller, but fast, knows the game, knows where to be, you know, kind of linebacker like that. So, you know, I know Kellen Wiley is the one that's been like, oh, it's been so much hype. So as a fan base, we just want to see him get on the field. So, you know, the names that I definitely heard jumping up for sure was Marcelin. Definitely been hearing his name pop off a lot more. So, you know, he could be that guy that comes in and gets those opportunities maybe quicker than some of us might have thought. And again, you know, Marcelin, you would love to see it too, because this is one of those, like you said, just a little bit undersized, but also a local product. And then these kind of guys that, you know, next thing you know, you hearing the name get called on draft, and it's like, how the hell we let this one get out of, you know, from underneath us. So, yeah, I think he can end up being like Levante Davis, kind of in that mold.
Levante David with the playing for Tampa.
Tampa Bay, yeah.
Came from the West.
Right.
Was the one West player that was not looked at by Miami. Obviously, he didn't have the grades to go to Miami anyway, but still, the one player who was not looked at.
Where did he end up? Nebraska, right?
Yeah, went to Nebraska. Yeah. I mean, listen, Nebraska got one right now who Miami dropped.
And oh, yeah. I wanted to cry.
Vincent Shavers. I was like,
Shavers, yes, sir. Yes,
like,
sir.
Why the hell y'all dropped him? He would have been starting at linebacker for us right now. And
he going crazy, man. Nebraska, salute the bro. Salute the young bro.
Crazy up there, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's just things are getting to the point with the program where order is coming about. But at the same time, we have real competition that makes these situations that much more interesting. You know, we ain't get into like the tight end room. That's going to be interesting as things continue to shake around in there.
Another name. And it's not happening just yet. But it's a very, very, very possibility that it can happen. Idarius Hayes. For those who don't know, Idarius Hayes is the linebacker who was with us who ended up getting into the car accident and somebody passed away in the car accident, right? So he still is on the school. He's still listed as a student with the school. Not saying it's going to happen, but it's a possibility that he can get back on the team. That would have been good because he was 6'4".
Yeah, it's a big dude.
Physical linebacker, another linebacker that Miami liked. You know, it's just unfortunate that the situation happened. But just, you know, just keep in mind that he's still listed as a student up for the school. You know, so it's always the possibility if you're still listed. Like, if they would have said he's not a student, then yeah, but it's still a possibility.
Right. Well, prayers are all involved on that one. That was a terrible situation all around. But, anyways, we'll look over the recruiting for a little bit, man. You know, we mentioned earlier Israel Abrams, number 2 QB in the nation. Little lanky, 6'4", 187.
Man, that kid has he got it. Like, he get to college. Like, if he could put on 20 pounds, 15, 20 pounds now, and once he get to college, he can press for a starting job. He's that good.
Kind of remind me of Ja'Cory.
Yeah, yeah. He
kind of remind me of Ja'Cory.
He has the intelligence. He has that intelligence. He has that IQ that he's good like that.
Yeah, out of Chicago area, he was the Illinois Max Preps Illinois Player of the Year, and you know we talked earlier, D. Rob, about numbers, and lack thereof per se, but you know he the number two QB in the nation for a reason. 4,072 yards, 40 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and 10 rushing touchdowns. So he responsible for 50 touchdowns, and you know, Only 6 turnovers, man. And they won they went 14-0, won their state title in their division.
And the beautiful thing about this is, right, he said, well, why you choose Miami? Well, hey, the development. I seen what they did with Carson Beck. I seen what they did with Cam Ward. He right. said, I want the same thing. That's why I'm going.
Right.
Damn. They tried to use the Miami the portal thing or whatever, it didn't work. Niggas is in trouble, man. Niggas is in trouble. All these fucking teams, they in fucking trouble. Because that's the last thing y'all needed for us to do, was to get a top three quarterback in the nation to commit to Miami. When was the last time we had a quarterback that high commit to us?
Listen, they in trouble. They was in Cal, right?
Kyle Wright.
Nope. Kyle fucking Wright.
Long time.
Garcia. Jeff Garcia. Damn. Jake Garcia. He was ranked high at first, but his ranking kind of fell off.
It fell off.
Towards the end, it kind of ranked.
Schools and stuff.
Top 5. I thought he was in top 5, but
at one point he was there, but it slipped some because of partially because of the moving around and all stuff.
Well, listen, D Rob, you say they in trouble. Listen, they was in trouble the day they announced Mario being Miami coach. They was in trouble that they just didn't know. They thought
it was a game.
Oh yeah,
they thought it was a game.
They in trouble because the one thing that's happening is the kids are buying into what Mario is preaching. They buying it. They in trouble. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They in trouble. I don't know exactly what it is that Mario is telling the parent and the player, but bet that up, Mario.
Yeah. So Jake Garcia, when he first got his ranking, he was a five star the whole time up until right before the season start, 2020, that season started, his ranking kind of tailed off. So he started out with a 99.08 and then he ended at a 97.61. So he was a five star, but then he went from the number 1 to 2 quarterback all the way to number 8. Or number 10, something like that, depending on what site you look on. So, but yeah, man, we haven't had a quarterback. Yeah, we haven't had a quarterback like you said since Kyle Wright. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, man, all them narratives is done, bro. All them narratives is done.
Well, another thing you gotta about with Israel was he said he don't want to transfer, right? Which, for a young kid to come in and say that, and he was part of where he wanted to make his decision was he wanted someplace that he could hang out for a few years and build his own legacy. So that lets me know as well, he's coming in with the mindset of putting the work in and then getting there. It ain't going to – and let me know at the first sign of adversity, he's not just going to up, jump, and book. It ain't going to be I ain't starting, I'm gone. He's going to look at it as an opportunity, all right, let me get myself better. Let me figure out what I got to do to make sure I get on this field and take what I think I should have. So, that was refreshing to hear because, you don't really hear that type of approach. For him to just be, out the gate, wherever I go, because that's part of the reason he picked Miami, is, I want to like where I'm at. Just be all right, this is a cool place to be versus, had he gone to, Purdue was up there for him. Auburn was up there for him. Some people going to dig that. But, you know, this kid, he's out of a more affluent area outside of Chicago. So, like, where he's actually, like, from is about 25 miles outside of Chicago. So, you know, I've been a big proponent for that. You know, the city kids, that's why I think we're doing well in the Midwest is we're able to you go after a lot of these kids that are from, you know, the more metropolitan areas versus, like, Brock Schott, who was, like, my favorite last year, right? But he ain't from he not from like the big cities in the Midwest, and it didn't take him long to go ahead and bolt back out and want to be, you know, a Hoosier. I think we'll do better with the Chicago area kids, and we have so far done really well with
them. Oh, you forgot to mention Florida State. Remember 2 days prior to that he said that
he was
blown away. He was speechless. He was wild. He was wild.
What the fuck? Like,
yeah.
How can a team be this bad? You know, I can assure you he got to see some stuff where he was just like, yeah, no way in the world. I am blown away. This is trash. You know, yeah, and then you got Dead Man Walking there. So, I think he reminds me a lot of DeCorey. So, if we can get even something close to that, we got us something special there. And then, you know, to your point as well, just building this class. I don't know, number one. I'm not necessarily obsessed with number one. It's kind of cool on the paperwork or whatever. Top five is something big for me. I do want to be in that top five, Ricky. Because it's just another signal of pushing it over to that next level of being up there with the Ohio States who consistently recruited that level. You know, your Alabama's for the longest, you know, that have stayed up in those top five rankings. So LSU being up there quite often, Texas in recent years. So to get to push it even further from where it is now, yeah, I'd like to see it end up in the top five. And then today, earlier, we got another quarterback commitment.
Hold on. But so the reason why I want the top class, because I like the model that Mario is doing. Mario is not just bringing in top talent just because they're highly ranked. He's bringing in talent that can play right away.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at, like you said earlier, we've been able to play football for a long period of time where the freshmen could come in and practice. So now you're looking at the freshmen getting to spring, and you're actually hearing, man, that freshman might play.
Right.
You're not. It's not just, oh yeah, he got to come in, he got to sit and wait his turn. It's, man, that freshman might have opportunity to play. You're hearing about Wingo. Wingo might have opportunity to play. You see Jackson Cantwell is out there. You see J.J. Dunnigan is out there.
Yeah,
you're starting to see freshmen that's okay. And that's why I say if Mario brings in that top class, then he's bringing in the players to play. He's not just bringing in the class just because, oh, we're going to have the top-ranked class just to have it. No, he's bringing in players to play.
Well, he said it's tougher now because now it's almost like they got to – turn away some of the high-ranked kids because either they don't think they'll fit what they do very well, not saying they don't think they're talented, but it's like maybe you don't fit what we do. And on top of that, now he getting to be to a point where he can be picky about are you really a dog? Do you really love this game? Like, I'm not just looking at, you know, think about a Clowney, right? Remember Clowney was, come on, monster, one of the best college, you know, players we'd ever seen play this game. Dude didn't love the game, bro. He just was really good at it. He was just a freak athlete that just was able to take advantage of his God-given talents. He might be a guy that today, Mario might have been like,
yeah, we're gonna go another route. He don't love it as much as I love it. You
know, right, yeah. And
Mario wants players to love it more than him.
Right. And that's where you build culture, competition. That's where we don't have to necessarily spend the most money. We're going to spend some money. Yeah, for sure. That's the name of the game. But it ain't going to just be paying for the name. paying for the star rankings. It's going to be paying for guys that we think can come in here and compete. So, yeah, it might not be the number one tight end, but it's the number seven. And guess what? My eyes tell me he's going to actually end up being way better than what he's ranked right now. So, you know, we'll see if it – I think a culmination of these things will have to happen to where the evals in his head and his staff, how much it matches up with the national evals ultimately. Like, because he's going to trust his evaluations more than they're going to trust their evaluations. You know, yeah, sometimes, of course, it's going to align, right? You know, the number one guy is still the number one guy, whether you love him or not. He's still,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
oftentimes,
yeah.
That's just going to be the case. But, oh, yeah, so as I was alluding to today as we're recording, we got another quarterback commit. Not the one most Miami fans wanted for 28. Is a whole nother name that, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't even familiar with coming into the process. But out of Jacksonville, Knox Annis, 6'3", 205. He had some offers from, you know, early on, I guess, UF, FSU, Auburn, Tennessee, some other schools in there.
Yeah, so his situation is he – everybody want him because they want Bryson Wright. They want the right receiver. They want the right receiver. He plays on his team. Somebody told me he was best friends. That's the first I heard that. But yeah, they want him because of Bryson Wright. Miami too. And I instantly, you know what I'm saying, made a phone call and was like, I see what you're doing, but I don't like it.
I don't want to.
You know, like, just me caring about the kids. That's just me caring about the kids. As a fan, that's I'm real. Like, I love it. I love it because I see what they're doing. But me caring about the kids, I want the kid to have his own opportunity to make his decision and not be based on because y'all want this guy. You know what I'm saying? I've seen that happen too many times. And then close to signing day, the school don't answer the man phone call, and then now he's stuck looking for a situation. That's the only way. That's the only reason why I don't like it, because I'm like, I know I've seen this happen too many times. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, I'm like, yeah, man, if it's going to be I take it. You know what I'm saying? If we getting Bryson Wright because he committed, then I'll take it. You know what I'm saying? But I just care about kids a lot too much to overlook it.
That's real.
You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I don't get paid $9 million to make these decisions.
Right.
You know, I wish I did, but
be nice, man.
Yeah, that would be you, man.
But what you was about to say, D-Rock?
No, I'm about to say, I get why they did it. And I don't have a problem with it. And the reason why is because, like you said, man, you gotta get a quarterback every class, man. You gotta get a quarterback every class. This next year is going to, I think after this year, you're going to see more players hit the portal because of them not having a spring portal. They kind of stuck. If they don't beat out somebody, they probably like, damn, if I ain't beat them out this year, I'm probably not going to beat them out next year. So I know when that next portal would be.
D-Rob, take it into account. Remember that they just signed that executive order that you can only transfer once. So it's
going to be
a lot of kids that don't transfer now. I don't have a second. That second opportunity is what causes a lot of these kids to transfer in the first place.
Yeah. But again, executive orders is not necessarily like, you know what I'm saying, like set in stone.
Yeah. That's the state don't got to go by.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We'll they don't have to.
Go, but. Good.
Let's
finish your point.
I see why they did it. I don't have a problem with it. You know what I'm saying? Stack your quarterback room because, like I said, more than likely you'll lose Mensa. I would love for him to come back for a senior year, but you're probably going to lose him. Then now you're going to have four quarterbacks. You're going to have Nickel, Larry. I'm about to say Larrion Coleman. Darion Coleman. Darion Coleman.
I heard you saying that. I was like, what I got to do with it?
Judd Anderson. And then you're going to have Izzy Abrams. That's your four quarterbacks. right? And everybody's basically an underclassman. Everybody's gonna have at least 3 years outside of, yeah, Judd is gonna have still have like 3 years. By the time the 28 kid comes, he's still gonna have at least two more years. So then you're gonna bring in two kids from there, which is Lawrence and this other kid. I don't think he's gonna even factor into like serious PT, like, oh yeah, he might get this starting job because it's too much talent in that room. Like, the future is going to be, I think, Abrams and Lawrence. That's the future to me. So we'll see. I'm not counting out Coleman, but he got a lot of work, bro. He got a lot of work, man. We cannot have 6 foot 165, 170 back there, bro. Like, we can't do that shit, bro. We can't do that.
Yeah, you know, and we talked about numbers. To kind of highlight what some people would be like, what's some of the skepticism at? I mean, he's a full-time starter. He threw for 22 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. And like the year before that was pretty similar. It was like 1,500 yards and like 10 and 10. So the numbers don't jump out at you to begin with. And for those who don't know who Bryce Wright is, that's the number one wide receiver.
Number 28. Number two, because him and Sears is like neck and neck.
Right.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I ain't been hearing too much about Bryson reclassing, though, or nothing, though, right?
Well, he wants to. I don't think his dad going to allow him. He wants to. Him and Sears, they both want to. The crazy part, man, is we finna get both of those guys.
I certainly hope so.
And they're ahead of their time. They're ahead of their time, man. Like, Bryson Wright, you see him, you're like, yeah, bro, you really don't need another year of high school, man. Like, that's like, I'm not saying he's Jeremiah Smith, but when you look at him, it's like, yeah, bro, you in that mold, like 6'4", you know what I'm saying? 205, 210. You do whatever. Hey, come on, man. You abusing anybody who you guard, you are abusing them. You know what I'm saying? Like,
a little bro different.
He's different, man. And then
yeah, Sears, right, man, he in that mold of Jeremiah. I mean, he may not turn out to be, but he's in that mold.
And Sears, man, every bit of they comparing him to Travis Hunter. I'm like, yeah, that kid, man.
But yeah, well, could be, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see. You know, like I said, they're not going to quit. Tom Lloyd went out and said it pretty fast after the commitment, like, yeah, they're not going to quit recruiting Neiman Lawrence. So,
I mean,
like, he ain't out of the picture.
Neiman's supposed to commit in the summertime, so I was never worried about him not being a Hurricane. Once this guy commit, I instantly tweeted out, I don't anticipate him to be in this class.
Right, yeah.
People hit me, tweeting me, like, what are you talking about? We got him so we can get the other quarterback. I say, well, duh.
Yeah, we'll see. I was with you because, again, I didn't know the kid like that. And I'm like, who is this? And I started doing a little research, and I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I see what we're doing here. I'm with you on that. Like, nah, let's not do it just because of that. But, you know, maybe he'll do Emory Williams, like when it was Emory and Jaden Rashad. I could legit say Emory wasn't going nowhere, and then Jaden ended up, you know, flipping him. We all know how that story ended. But speaking of recruiting,
Let's hope we get to keep the top one this time.
Yeah. Yeah, get the top one. If we got to lose one, yeah, let's lose the left of the two. Keeping in the recruiting vein, it's been, you know, we just had the swimming pool party just passed.
Yeah, the pool party.
Pool party was there. Yeah, everybody.
It's always amazing, man. Yeah, a lot of top recruits came there.
It was who, man.
This year was a lot different because a lot of the recruits got to spend one-on-one time. Normally, they, you know, it's the pool party. There's just so many that they can't spend one-on-one time. But this time, they got to spend a lot of one-on-one time with coaching staffs and Mario and stuff like that. And then you see you even had former players come and vibe up, and you see Akeem Mesdor bringing pads out there to players. And yeah, it was just one of those events, man, where all the kids are saying, man, this Miami is a lot different from everything else. You know, so.
Yeah. So I just wanted to touch on a couple of names real quick before we get out of here that just hold on. Oh, the X, that's you scratch. I was like, what the hell is that? We scratching the pad, I think. Yeah, like, I was like, what the hell is that? Yeah, a couple of names that kind of popped up that's of interest, right? So my son, Johnson Cook.
Oh yeah,
He get ready to commit soon too, correct?
Ooh-wee.
Man, listen, I tweeted out, I think it was last week, I don't know when it was, but I was like a 6'3", 235 running back that runs a 4.3. And people was like, who you talk about? Once they found out the name, everybody was like, oh, okay, yeah. I said, yeah, man, that's running back one. Once we about to lock that up, next thing you know, the crystal ball start rolling in for him. And I say, man, I told y'all before they even knew. You know what I'm saying? But I was just telling y'all that it's a running back like that size that likes Miami. And I'm like, boy, you need this guy, man. This guy, he has a seat, boy. Oh, my God.
We had one out of that area before, man. You know.
We had, bro, we, man, look. Yeah, yeah.
The area.
He
really was nice, man. Like, that's a sad story with bro. But, number four running back in the nation.
I was a bit nervous. I was a bit nervous because of where he's from. I'm like, oh, gosh, man. Like, we know what happened. But before we got JT, the last time we got a kid from that area was like 1980-something, because I remember they said it. And that guy who we got didn't last long because just the background. You know what I'm saying? So another kid from that area is like, oh, he got all the – like, bro, this is like AP. You know what I'm saying? Like, we get this kid, boy. Oh, my gosh. Like,
yeah,
Mario them is going to be a kid in a candy store if they land this kid, man. I'm telling you, if they land him, I can see next year him being running back one. But I'm going to wait. That's a different discussion for another day.
That'd be crazy. So, I bring him up because, you know, a lot of the buzz is he's pushing our way. You know, welcome with open arms. So he could be kind of on that commit watch. Then,
He on commit watch. That thing could come at any moment.
Right.
I think they just gonna wait. Probably like my whole thing. I was telling everybody after spring we gonna have a commit spent. You know, just file off. But it looked like it's about to start happening now.
Yeah. We got one tomorrow.
Yeah, we're gonna get one tomorrow.
Offensive
lineman, one of the top interior offensive linemen, and Tatum.
Trey Moore. Tomorrow. We about to pull something out of Cooney backyard.
Trey Moore. Another receiver I felt real confident about, but I instantly get some phone calls and then I was like, yeah, it's not gonna happen. Was Jaden Upshaw. At first, I felt 100% confident he was going to be a Hurricane. Then the next day, I got a phone call like at 9 in the morning. I was like, oh, here we go. Yeah, boy, X, don't be too happy about that. And he ain't coming. He's going to go to Miami. Texas A&M probably going to be the landing spot. And I was like, oh, okay, well.
That's real.
This is what
you got to do. This got to do. We beat them, too. And then, you know, the biggest dog of them all came down, kicked it for extra time. You know, pretty much everything I understand, he committed to Miami, right? And then in the 11th hour flip, you know, on national TV, the Ohio State folks was, you know, going crazy. And, you know, I heard they dropped the bag. And they did what they had to do. Cool. But he hung around for a few days.
Around for a little minute, man. And
DJ Jacobs,
his boy, the way he talk about it is you could almost kind of say he flipped already.
Yeah, I read quotes that even from a Ohio State insider, whatever, was like, you'd be crazy to think he's gonna end up at Ohio State, essentially. You know, they try to pull something, like I said, 11th out, and then we beat their ass, right? So that was the icing on the cake. Like, all right, that we doing, cool. Bust their ass, you know, number one team. Went ahead and did what we had to do against them. And he ended up, you know, making that call or whatever just before that. But, yeah, a lot of buzz, man. Likewise, like you saying, X, like, matter of when, not if type situation, which now we're getting closer and closer to that number one class, right? You got number two quarterback, you got number one edge/player in the nation, depending on, you know, what you're looking at.
No, don't forget, you got Nick at receiver. I don't know if you want to say he's number one, number two, or three, whatever, top five.
Top of the top.
Running back. You get the top five running back, not to mention number one offensive tackle in the nation, Matthews. Once he go ahead and win, he's another win situation. And it's another top tackle name. How you pronounce the dude name? I know I put it in the group chat. It was the last name spelled EPLLT. Pronounce the dude name, but he's another one that you can land. You get those two guys, plus with Tatum, he's initially telling everybody, I'm going to always have the best offensive line in the nation every year because I'm finna get these kids. You know what I'm saying? So
right. And you know, massive at that. Like, it's not just like his line looks so different, man. And again, you know, it's something I'm just never going to worry about under Mario. So, yeah, I think that's turned into, like I said, a win, not if. And then another interesting one, not as highly rated, but a guy that's pretty high on their board, just decommitted, just visited Miami, right? He was down for the pool party and everything, been committed to Alabama for a while. And then after coming down for the pool party, he decommitted. I believe earlier today or yesterday.
You're talking about the cornerback. Yeah.
Cornerback, yeah, out of the Atlanta area, Nash. I believe it's Nash Johnson.
Nash Johnson. Yeah. They high on him.
Yeah, 6 foot, 170. He's number 68 cornerback in the nation. But again, they high on him. And, you know, you look at oftentimes where these guys are. He's committed to Bama. Auburn's high on him as well. A couple other schools that, you know, he's in good company. You know, we got to worry about Auburn, I would think, for sure. He mentioned DeMarcus Van Dyke. He mentioned DeMarcus Van Dyke.
I kept telling Larion, we keep telling you, bro.
You know, I'm going to say, you know me. I'm the president of the DVD fan club, Bring DVD Home fan club.
Right now, I'm like, we need a cornerback coach. I'm like, he should have been called a year ago.
Should have been done. But, you know, at the same time, I'm like, maybe we'll do the quarterback coach. Like, you've been, like, y'all both, especially D-Rob, is screaming for. So,
that player you was talking about, X, his name is Joshua Sam Apele.
Joshua Sam Apele, yeah. He's another top O-line recruit. Last year they thought he was Georgia locked, but ended up coming on a visit to Miami and was just amazed at what happened. And now Miami is trending for him. It's just
spooky hours. Things looking a lot different, and things are going to, I believe, continue on that trajectory. This is what he was brought here for, like, you know, we kicked it off with. It's just all coming into focus. You know, it's probably time to throw some more bread at him. Just because.
He has another 10-win season this year. He gets
just to flex, like.
Yeah.
I know he ain't worrying about nothing like that. It's just, you know, we Miami gonna flex their muscle a little bit. Right now the brand is growing back into what it was. And honestly, in today's day and age, it could get even bigger than it ever was. You know, we just had Busting with the Boys coming through. They just left campus. You know, they enjoyed it. And while they was there, ran into Vilma. Njoku was out
there. Njoku was there, yeah. They running into all type of former kids.
And that's just a day in Miami.
That's what I keep saying. Like,
just a day.
You don't have this at no other school.
You don't have this. Yeah, exactly. You don't have this. Nope. Ohio State can't brag about this type of fraternity. They just can't.
So nobody else can tell you. They got such and such, and they don't have that.
You're talking Pro Bowlers, Hall of Famers, current players, ex-players, and on top of that, you also have 9 Miami Hurricanes down there practicing and working out as well. So you're talking about just guys in the league. You might run into Justin Jefferson on the right day. He might just come down and get some work in. So, and today's social media era and Mario's marketing savvy as well. That's the thing that I think goes a little underrated about Mario is, you know, he come from Oregon, so he worked with Nike. Mario don't make no mistakes. Everything's cold and calculated, Jack. He knows what he's doing to have this brand bigger than it's ever been and taking advantage of the tools that's given to him today to make Miami the biggest brand, and he's going to do everything in his power to do so. So ain't no mistakes about no moves he's making. Things are looking great. It's legitimately great to be a Miami Hurricane, bro. With that, man, we're going to get up out of here. Peace.
Peace.
Peace, 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 peace,
peace. We're going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.